Texans Huddle, presented by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. And by Texas Emergency Care Center, any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle, coming to you from the fifth level concourse here at Reliance Stadium. And we have a great 30 minutes in store for you. In fact, I'll sit down with Houston Texans president Jamie Roots. Our Drew Doherty will visit with Brian Cushing. And as always, we'll check in with the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. But first up, where has the Houston Texans starting running back Arian Foster been all offseason? Well, hard to find him since he kind of dropped off of Twitter, but he did hold his annual camp for kids down at Pearland High School, and I had a chance to catch up with him and find out what's been going on.
Shop beats Foster, a little cutback to the left, nothing there, then straight ahead, 35-30, almost pulled it, takes the snap. Here's the give, Arian through a hole, 10, 15, 20, to the outside, 25, cuts inside, 30, 35, 40, 45 in traffic, and down across the 50-yard line. Matt throwing right side of the end zone, Foster diving, grab, he's got the touchdown reception.
Talk a little bit about you this offseason. Obviously, you've kind of dropped off Twitter. We haven't heard from you much. Sort of tell us kind of where you've been, what you've been doing, and what, looking forward to this upcoming season.
Yeah, no, I've just been relaxing, you know. I've been, you know, relaxing and working really hard. You know, I think this is probably one of my most intense training off seasons I've had since I've been in the NFL. And, you know, I just want to bounce back. I didn't feel like I had the best season last year.
Intense off season. How? What have you been doing differently?
Just training. Just refocused and rededicated myself to another level, and then hopefully it shows.
Last year you did that sort of in sort of your diet. Anything changed or different from that aspect this year?
Not necessarily. Just refocus. You know, just refocus and rededicate, and really just not doing a lot. I'm not traveling. I'm not doing a lot. I'm here in Houston and I'm training.
When you say you didn't feel like you had a real good season last year, what do you mean by that?
That's just personally. I set a lot of personal goals on a lot of things that I do. I just didn't feel like I was at my best, and it's going to change this year.
Your thoughts on some of the off-season moves the Texans have made so far, starting kind of with the draft?
I kind of stay away from the draft because, I mean, you don't really know what you have until they play. You know, you see wonderful first-rounders and terrible first-rounders, and, you know, same thing with undrafted people. I'm evidence of that. So you just you know, the front office is going to make the moves that they're going to make. We just have to adjust, and hopefully they can help us out.
What about the free agents, specifically a guy back there to help you and Greg Jones?
Oh, I mean, I was extremely thankful for that. You know, he's been a veteran in this league for a long time, blocking for Maurice Jones-Drew, and, you know, he's just going to help us out. He's just a big physical specimen back there, and he's going to help us out.
And just thoughts on the schedule. Does that make any difference to you one way or another when you look at that schedule?
I haven't even looked at it yet. I haven't been on internet. I haven't watched TV in so long. I have no idea who we're playing yet. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
And when you talked about, you know, you set personal goals for yourself, anything you can sort of enlighten us on or share with us?
Yeah, the personal goals. So I'm going to keep them personal.
He's in! Touchdown, Texans!
Always good to catch up with Arian. All right, we have to take our first time out here on the show, but don't go away. When we come back, I'll visit with Houston Texans president Jamie Roots. Stay with us.
Certainly, they were, you know, trying to get some money to improve their stadium, which would enhance their bid. And that is not going to happen at this point in time, so that certainly doesn't help their situation. And we're working on our bid. That's the main thing, make sure that we've got a good, strong bid. And I think we do, and I think we're going to be very competitive.
Joining me now, Houston Texans president Jamie Roots. You heard Mr. McNair talking about how exciting it is, you know, with the possibility of having Super Bowl 51 coming here to Houston. Just sort of give us your overall thoughts on kind of how this has unfolded with what he said about Miami.
Well, this past fall, we were presented with the opportunity to participate for 2017. Actually, we could have gone 16-17, but we had the NCAA in here and precluded us. So we've been working hard, putting together a great bid for the National Football League. But Houston inherently has got a lot of great advantages. This stadium is one of the finest on the planet, with our new video board installation is going to make the in-stadium experience second to none. Houston as a city that hosts big events, we've certainly proven ourselves. And then really getting in and out of Houston because of, you know, the airport system and our ability to move traffic around the community. I mean, overall, it's really going to be set up as a great Super Bowl destination, and we hope the owners agree.
Well, the owners, of course, the meeting is on May 22nd. We don't want to put the cart before the horse, but obviously you guys felt like you had a good shot at this as it was. But with what they are going through down in Miami, kind of what's transpired this last week, you almost feel like it's just kind of a shoe-in. And how exciting was that for you to watch that unfold?
Well, you know, it's interesting to see it, and disappointing for Miami, and you know, those were needed renovations for that stadium. But all we can control is what we present to the National Football League, and we're going to put our best foot forward. Nobody's won anything until after the owners' meeting, and you never know what's going to drive a decision. So we're going to put our best foot forward, and hopefully we'll have a successful result.
A successful Super Bowl has already been put on here by you guys. Just talk a little bit about why it's important to the Houston Texans and the city as well to host a Super Bowl here.
Well, it's great anytime we can gain visibility around the game of football and grow the game in this region. It's important to us. But for the city, I mean, there's not a better stage to market your community. I mean, all eyes across the world will be looking to Houston during the lead-up and during that game. The economic impact is unquestioned, and quality of life impacts exist. While people are really proud of the Houston Texans being here, and when we have success on the field, they're even more proud of their football team, they're also proud that their city is capable of hosting an event like this. So for lots of reasons, this is a big shot in the arm for our community if we can be successful.
You mentioned it a little bit earlier, the new video scoreboard, a big enhancement here, and you made the announcement here this offseason and kind of taken us through it, shown us some graphics. Tell us about it and what the fans can expect to see.
We're about halfway through the process. We plan on being ready for the first preseason game and to be able to unveil it for the fans. You know, the primary screen for fans is what they're watching on the field. You can't replicate the action, the excitement, the passion, the drama that happens on NFL game day. So that's first and foremost what we offer. But now, with these video boards, you have a second screen, which is like your 55, 70-inch flat screen in your home, and all the things that we're going to do to take the fans to places they've never been from a video experience. And then all the stats and information become your third screen. Running stats of what's happening in the game, fantasy stats, out-of-town scores, all things that were very difficult for us to provide to the fans. And then your fourth screen is whatever you come into the stadium with in your pocket. You know, you can go and have that kind of experience, but we hope we can super serve them in the first, second, and third screen with these new boards.
Well, and they're ginormous. I mean, just quickly give us a few of the numbers. I mean, people think of some of the new large scoreboards that have been put up around the country, but this is really second to none.
Right. Each one is over 14,000 square feet. The video board itself is six times larger than our previous installation. Just the video portion, which is the slice towards the middle, will be twice as big as our existing video board installation, and I believe it's 30% larger than what the fans have seen previously at the high in Dallas at Cowboys Stadium, which is a great video installation. This one will be even bigger.
And one other addition that'll be kind of tied in with that, and it's kind of something that's league-wide that should really benefit the fans here in Houston, is a camera in the locker room that the fans can experience pregame.
Well, and that's one example of the things that we're doing to provide an even more rich experience for our fans. Beyond what you're seeing on the field, how can we take you into the locker room? How can we give you behind-the-scenes access, things that you couldn't get if you didn't come to the game? So part of it is playing defense and making sure that you don't pay a penalty for coming here in terms of the video presentation. But also there's some offensive plays to be played out there to take you places you've never been before and that you wouldn't be able to be a part of if you were sitting on your couch at home.
All right, well, great stuff. It's only May, but geez, I feel like season is right around the corner. You got me all excited for coming out here. That's right. Thank you, Jamie Roots. We've got to take a time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Plenty more still to come.
This portion of Texans Huddle is presented by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Obviously, Kush is a great player. Anytime you lose a great player, it's hard to replace him. We had some guys that filled in, did a good job last year, and we won some games, but it's still a star player. Anytime you lose a star player, it's great to have him back. I think he's progressing well. He's going to be ready.
Everyone obviously very excited to get Brian Cushing back on the field this season after going out in week 5 on that Monday night game against the New York Jets last season with the season-ending knee injury. Well, Cush has been out here at Reliance Stadium working out with his team, and our Drew Doherty had a chance to catch up with him.
I've been hearing them every day this off season, so there's been really no break. Which is fine. You know, I'm preparing to be 110% and healthy and have the best year of my career. So, I mean, it's just nice seeing everyone again.
You say the best year of your career. How does that happen? How's that going to happen?
Just preparation. You know, preparation and the fact that the way I work and the way I train, and, you know, I'm going to make my knee better than it's ever been before, probably better than my right knee, and that's the goal. You know, I mean, I'm not going out there and having a year where everyone said, oh, you know, he's not as healthy or whatnot. Just, he's going to be no barrier, you know, to really hold me back. So, been through a lot this year, you know, mentally, physically, and I think a lot of that pain and aggression will come out. So, you know, that's the driving force and the driving factor. And you know, when it's go time, you know, I'm going to be there.
You know, like a lot of guys on this team, you're well known for your preparedness in the off season, during the season, all that stuff. Is there, you have to be reined in a little bit? Do guys have to say that on the training staff, hey, hold off a little? Or yeah. Do you already know all that?
No, yeah, absolutely. You know, and the fact that I really have prepared differently this off season has been more rehab and less out of the weight room. Really just to get my knee to where it needs to be. And I've taken my time off, you know, but for the most part, I still come in every single day. And, you know, you got to know when you need to rest and you got to know when you need to go. And, you know, now I think everyone's rested enough and it's time to lock in and we'll gradually get to where we need to be.
How much do you enjoy being around everybody?
It's good. You know, it really is. And it feels right. You know, the off season when you come in, there's no one in the locker room. It's quiet. All the lockers are cleaned out. It's just it's a different feel, you know. And then finally, when you get everyone around here again, it's, you know, you feel the camaraderie. And the guys you go to battle with are here, and you know, like I said, it just feels right.
What would you say is the easiest part of all this, and what's the toughest part of it?
You know, I think the easiest part is just seeing everyone again and coming in and being happy. I think the toughest part is just the day in and day out grind. You know, the fact that it's April, and you know you're working to a game that'll be in September. So there's a lot of time before that, and I think just the mental waiting process is the toughest, because you want to get out and you want to play so bad.
Pain all gone and everything?
Yeah. Pain's gone. Here, now it's just getting my knee as strong as it needs to be and getting all my field work done and really just putting my knee through every single test it can endure. And that it will see on the field. So, you know, I want to get all that out of my system before I really go out there and start hitting people again, planting and cutting with real force. So, you know, once I do that, I'll be completely fine.
But you'd like to hit somebody right now, right?
I'll wait. You know, it's it'll all be worth it, you know, come September.
And joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, or should we say the product?
The product? Because I'm on so much Texan stuff, video, audio, writing.
And not only is he just the product, but he's the Eagle product. Dropped in an Eagle in the golf tournament this week. Congrats.
Well, it was off your drive. We were scrambling.
It's an Eagle tandem.
See, Patty Smith had the drive, and I hit it in from about 125 with a 9-iron. Thank you very much.
121 bounce in the hole. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I do it every day. Not really.
All right,
never done it.
Let's talk a little football. We just heard Drew Doherty with Brian Cushing. Just sort of, you know, let's start with Brian and just your thoughts on his situation.
Well, how needed is he? He was lost in week 5, and they were really never quite the same defensively. We all saw what happened at the end of the year where they gave up too many big plays, and we saw what happened against New England twice. To have Cushing back would be huge. Gary Kubiak is not ready to turn him loose yet, as he said. OTAs begin in less than 2 weeks. You're not going to see Brian Cushing out there doing a whole lot, but you don't need to. He knows what he's doing. Remember his rookie year? He was defensive rookie of the year, and he missed the entire preseason. He'll be fine. Keep him in bubble wrap until you get to training camp or deep into the preseason and let him go then. I think he'll be just fine for the opener against San Diego, Patty.
Another guy who is a little in question whether he'll be ready for training camp and kind of snuck up on us was Ed Reed and the hip surgery or injury, whatever it is that he's having done there in his labrum. Just how worried and how concerned are you and should we be about this?
They're calling it minor, and I'm going to take their word for it here. I think if you're a football player over 32, 33 years old, Ed Reed will be 35. When the season gets underway, you're probably having a surgical procedure or two every offseason on something. Ed Reed had major hip surgery a couple of years ago, and he came back fine from that. So I don't think this is too big a deal. And you really don't need Ed Reed to practice anyway in the offseason. You need DJ Swearinger and the young safeties to get some playing time. Reed will still be around to help sort of coach them up. You want Reed opening night against San Diego. I think, Patty, even if you didn't have him, but they expect to have him, even if you didn't, it's okay. The most important thing is that Ed Reed's presence is felt as the season progresses down the stretch when you're jockeying for playoff position and into January when you're actually in the postseason.
You mentioned some of these young guys that we'll be seeing at OTAs here in a couple weeks, but this weekend, Texans rookie minicamp.
Yeah.
What can we see? What are you looking forward to there?
Well, I think the quarterbacks are always interesting. Case Keenum, to see him throw it around. Colin Klein, Gary Kubiak talked about him out of Kansas State, one of the Heisman finalists, but I don't really expect a ton there. The running backs are where the real drama is here because they're looking for a third running back, and is it going to come from this group? When you look at what they're going to trot out there, Sierre Wood from Notre Dame and Dennis Johnson from Arkansas and George Wynn from Cincinnati, Ray Grant from Pittsburgh. These guys all fit the bill, the system that they have, that one-cut style, some better than others, and we'll see how it goes down at the Methodist Training Center. Plus, tight end. We had Philip Superdon, Texans All-Access. He'll be jockeying for position for a third tight end spot on this team. Sometimes they've kept four. So I think those are two position groups to watch, running back and tight end in particular.
Philip Supernaw, another successful golf story, won the longest drive out.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's a great athlete. Big surprise.
You and Supernaw put you guys in the same category
sure,
there.
Sure.
All right, thanks, Mark. Great stuff. We've got to take our final time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, more from Arian Foster's football camp. Stay with us.
This portion of Texans Huddle has been presented by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Texans Huddle has been presented by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are.
If you hadn't had a chance to visit the Houston Texans Facebook fan page, you might want to check it out. Our very own Drew Doherty and Nick Scherfield go into the Texans mailbag, answer questions from the fans about players, coaches, uniforms, just about anything. This week they went deep into the mailbag, and here's what they got.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this Friday Facebook mailbag. I'm Drew Doherty. This is Nick Scherfield, and if you're not familiar with the Friday Facebook mailbag, very, very simple. Middle of the week on Facebook, the Houston Texans send out a Facebook mailbag request, and we answer those questions. So, first question comes from Heath Bilbray. Will the Texans D have enough cover guys this season to stop teams who spread them out? Well, you think so in theory. They added a safety in the draft, DJ Swearinger. You think you're going to get Brian Cushing back at full 100%? So it's looking good in that regard, Nick.
Absolutely, and they're looking pretty good in the secondary. Ed Reed's hip surgery is going to be something to watch. His recovery as the offseason goes along, they're not expecting him back until training camp, maybe the middle of training camp. If then, they're going to be very cautious with him. But you got Ed Reed, you got Daniel Manning back there at safety, you had DJ Swearinger, who has a lot of range and can play in the slot. Then your top three cornerbacks, Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, and Bryce McCain, all very solid. They played here the last couple years and done a really good job, and some young guys developing behind them as well. So you got to feel pretty good about the Texans' secondary, their cover guys, and teams trying to spread them out.
No doubt. Ozzie Manzanares has a good one. Nick and Drew, I'm ready to see Cushing hit somebody. So am I.
Absolutely, and I think he's ready to hit somebody, too. He said he's going to wait. He's going to wait until he comes back. But I asked Gary Kubiak about that at the golf tournament the Texans had on Monday. I said, are you going to have to tell his offensive teammates to watch out when he comes back in practice? And he said no doubt about it. He said he's mad they're not turning him loose just yet, but it's just a matter of time. They're going about it and hope to have him back for training camp, and he's going to be ready to hit somebody really hard come week one.
Our final question comes from Bakari Walker. How many Texans made the NFL top 100 this year? We don't know. That's an NFL Network thing. It comes out later, but you can probably assume and guarantee that the two All-Pros, J.J. Watt, Dwayne Brown, going to be on there. Andre Johnson had 1,600 yards receiving. That's nothing to sneeze at. Arian Foster led the NFL in touchdowns scored, so I bet those four are locks. After that, I don't know. Maybe Jonathan Joseph. Maybe tight end Noah Daniels. We'll have to wait and see.
They had 9 Pro Bowlers, and those guys you mentioned seem like they'd have to be locked, at least you know, the first 4 guys. And a lot of other guys who definitely could be deserving and warrant consideration after that. I'll be curious to see where Ed Reed is on the list
as well,
new Houston Texan, but I think you'll see at least 4 and probably more, but we haven't seen any yet in the first couple installments.
That's a Friday Facebook mailbag. Lots of fun. It's your chance to connect with us, and we love connecting. We're like electrical components or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
He's Nick Scherfield. I'm Drew Doherty. See you next time.
Well, earlier in the show, we had a chance to catch up with Arian Foster, who was hosting his football pro camp. Now, this is a camp that he does each and every year for kids between the ages of 7 and 14. He hosts it down at Pearland High School, and this is something he's come to look more and more forward to each and every year.
Great turnout. I think we have over 300 kids here. The parents have been wonderful sports. This is a good thing that we're doing, and trying to get involved in the community.
It's always about the kids. So the most important thing, we want to make sure all the kids come out, have fun, make sure they're learning all the skills that we're teaching them. And like we said, giving back to the community. I know that's what Arian is all about. All the coaches out here helping. That's what we're about. That's why we do what we do. And we're making sure the kids are having fun.
I'm having fun. My favorite thing was doing the quarterback drills, are you running, catch the passes and all that.
One of the best things is seeing a kid smile, man. That's one of the things that we do before.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. We also hope you tune in each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Southwest for your Texans Huddle. On next week's show, it's the Texans rookie minicamp this weekend. We'll get you up close and personal. We'll also take you out to J.J. Watt's charity softball game. Until then, have a great week, everyone.